Hello, I'm Amy Oldrick, Vice President of Risk Management with Anthem Risk, and I'm joined today by Sarah Roberts. We're going to discuss with you the how and why of physician practice risk assessment.
Physician practice assessment is really an enterprise risk look at what happens in your physician practice, the workflows and processes that are in place in your physician practice, some physical environmental risks, and it brings all of that together to give you an idea of where your actual risks are. So that once you decide what your risk appetite is, whether you want to accept the risks fully as they are, if you want to mitigate the risks, or if you want to avoid it altogether, then you can use this risk assessment to decide on a point-by-point basis how to address each of those risks.
All right. Can you talk a little bit about how you can look at one practice, but how that practice fits into a broader organization?
So with the physician practice risk assessments, what we try to do is we try to give you benchmarking, which would be either across an organization or across a group of physician practices, or benchmarking to previous practices that are assessed. And we look at some overarching general things that every practice does, such as how they room patients, medication reconciliation, money handling, environmental safety, cleaning, how they look at the medications that they administer in the office. Are they within date? Are multi-dose vials labeled appropriately? So we look at overarching items that are in every physician practice, and we score those numerically. We also look at specific items. So if you are in a specialty practice, we can look at items for infection prevention there, such as high-level disinfection or autoclave use. And what we try to do is group those into main headings so that those headings can be scored and you can benchmark to each other if you're in a large physician practice group or organization, or you can benchmark against all of the physician practice assessments that we've completed in the past.
Next, tell us, how do you do a physician practice assessment?
So physician practice assessments are actually multi-steps. The first thing that we do when we're looking at a physician practice is we try to establish what type of practice are we in? What type of clientele? What's your patient population? What type of procedures do you conduct within the practice? We get a background of what your current policies, procedures, and workflows are. And that's all before the actual physical on-site assessment. We look at high-risk areas such as your physician inboxes, your encounters, your task lists, all that are managed within your electronic medical record. And then next, we move on to the actual physical assessment. And that assessment includes environmental safety, such as slip, trips, and falls, environmental confidentiality issues, such as computer screens, telephones, tapping out of computer screens, are they locking anything? And we also look environmentally at security of that practice for workplace violence prevention. We follow the process and flow of patients through the practice, just as if I were a patient walking through, being triaged, being placed in a room, check-in, check-out process. We look at outside of the practices. Are there slip, trips, and fall issues in the sidewalks, in the parking lots? And then from there, I conduct tracer activities. So once I establish in the initial portion, the initial steps, what your workflow policies and procedures are, then interaction with staff that are in the practice to establish whether or not the staff are actually using those workflows, using those policies and procedures. And once we have a good idea and look at all of those pieces, then I'm going into individual exam rooms. I try to get into a sampling because these practices are open and I'm watching the flow of patients. I'm watching patients move through that practice. So I try to go into a sampling of rooms because it's not possible to get into 100%. I go into the laboratory areas, into an x-ray area if that's applicable. And then once all of these assessments are done, we go to the initial reporting phase, which is the third step of the process. And in this initial reporting phase, I sit down with the person who's accompanying me for these physician practice assessments and give them a verbal debrief of what I found. If I already have identified areas where I have best practices or evidence-based research on how to improve that, I will go ahead and share that information. That's on the exact day of the on-site assessment. And then we follow up with a written executive summary assessment, as well as that numeric benchmarking that we provide. And that is also followed with official debriefing, be it through the practice management directors or your C-suite. We can present at any level of that. And then those presentations focus on identifying your trends, any significant outliers that we find, and also identifying best practices within your groups, because you have internal experts that are doing things 100% right, and it's just a matter of identifying them through these kind of disconnected practices and making sure that they understand that they have those experts in-house and how to use them. And that's all followed up with access to a toolkit that we put together and update annually that has best practices, evidence-based practices, policies, procedures, and workflows that are laid out and have been identified as working well for other hospitals or physician practice groups.
I like that it sounds like there's three key points. First, that you review policies and procedures and how they compare to actual things that are happening in the practices, and then you follow a patient from start to finish, from when they walk in the door to when they walk back out, and then bringing the employees and the staff all together to find those internal experts and provide resources in a toolkit.
The goal is really, when you're looking at these physician practice assessments, is how can we make changes that affect the quality outcomes and thereby affect the organization's bottom line, be it reputational or financial.
Amy, would you talk a little bit about why is it important to conduct practice assessments? What is the overall purpose?
Well, one of the things that I identified early in my career in risk management is that we don't know what we don't know that goes on in our physician practices. So as we're onboarding practices, or if we've had practices that have been in our organization for quite a while, but maybe haven't had the opportunity to go out regularly and look at what's happening in those practices, I think you'd be surprised by what you find. I've been in practices where the executive leadership had no idea that they were conducting high-level disinfection within the practice. And this is a practice that was newly brought on, and it had only been onboarded for about 3 months at the time of the assessment. No one was aware that they were conducting high-level disinfection using glutaraldehyde, and it was not under a hood, and it was not with any PPE being used, and it was left out and open in the actual exam rooms. So one of the big things that I would say that drove me to really look into the physician practices is being able to identify what happens there. I think everybody has an idea of what they think happens, but when we get in, that's not really the reality.
Could you talk some about kind of the importance of practices and how patients kind of get into the healthcare system, they enter and exit from the practices?
Correct. What I really like to focus on and why I think physician practice risk assessments are such a big deal is the continuum of care for patients. So when we talk about hospital services and hospital revenue, we're looking at things like outpatient services, be it lab, radiology, cath labs, endoscopy labs, surgeries. You know, elective surgeries are a huge part of a hospital's revenue. So when you're talking about surgeries, how do your patients go from needing a surgery to that need being identified and then being sent to your hospital itself for the actual test to be done or surgery to be done? And it's all through your physician practices. Physician practices are the gateway to your organization. And if you look at risk as a continuum of care and you start in that physician practice, then what you're doing is making sure, for instance, your medication reconciliation process has a good foundation in the practice. So when you're admitting those patients pre-op, you have the correct medicine list, your past medical histories, your surgery clearances, they're happening in your primary care practices. So are we making sure that those are robust processes that have the right information, such as a patient with obstructive sleep apnea, so that when you are intaking that patient preoperatively, you know what that patient's operative risks are, and you know that they need that higher level of care or monitoring when they come out of surgery. So they are that gateway, and the information in your electronic medical record is that gateway to the care in the hospital. And then let's not forget that when we discharge patients from the hospital, where are we sending them to? We're sending them back to your physician practices. And the care in that physician practice is what the hospital depends on to decrease readmission rates. So think about your congestive heart failure readmissions. You know, with the current status, if a patient with congestive heart failure is readmitted within 30 days, there's no additional pay for that next stay. So are we using our physician practices to the best of their ability to help manage that patient's continuum and make sure that from a revenue standpoint, our inpatient and outpatient care really supports each other? So your physician practices really help manage your risks in the hospital as well as the risks in their own areas.
Any thoughts about or comments about telehealth and how that definitely increases the number of encounters that practices have with their patients?
Telehealth has really boomed since COVID-19, and the expectation is that telehealth will maintain in these practices and that the coverage for telehealth will continue to be expanded now. So telehealth enables you to see more patients. It's not a 30 or 45 minute visit. These are 15 minute visits. So as you are seeing these patients on a telehealth visit, are you still rooming them the same way you would? Are you still conducting that medication reconciliation? If we're prescribing meds, do we know what they're on? Are we treating it as an inpatient ambulatory visit, just like we would if they were physically in the office? Because your volume is so much larger now, because you're taking a shorter amount of time to see these patients in general.
Any last comments about how an organization, whether it be a single practice or a large system, can use the data gathered from an assessment to drive changes?
Whether you have 100% of your physician practices assessed or you have a representative sampling assessed, when you identify areas in one practice, if it's big, if it's a part of a bigger, larger organization, either a physician practice group or a hospital system owned group of practices, when you identify one thing in that one practice, I can almost guarantee you it's in every practice that you own. So, for instance, we talked about this being an enterprise risk management review. One of the things I look at is money handling. And one of the things I specifically look at is workplace violence around that issue. So do you have a courier system for collecting your deposits and taking them to the bank? Or do you depend on individual practice managers to conduct their own deposits? And then what are the records of the money? Who has access to the money? And are your practice managers walking out in public with a bank bag at the same time every single day to go make these deposits? And can that be identified as a time in which there is vulnerability in your practice? And that opens your practice up for a workplace violence event, such as a strong arm robbery. So if one practice is not using the courier, then there's more practices not using it. And if one practice manager is going every day at the same time, there's probably another. So when we look at trends, you don't have to have 100% of the practices reviewed, because generally it's pervasive throughout your organization.
So it sounds like there's a lot that can be gleaned from even one assessment for an organization.
Correct. These broad categories and these specific questions that we looked at can be applied across every single practice. So if you have practices that are consistently run the same, with the same policies, the same procedures, the same workflow, assessing a few of those will give you a good idea of what's happening in the majority of them.
Any other last thoughts about practice assessments?
I would just say that if you are considering performing physician practice risk assessments, I would definitely look at the benefits to the organization. When you look at quality drivers, patient outcomes, understand how that practice pushes that from the beginning and then closes that loop at the end because of that continuum of care, it's only going to strengthen your organization as a whole to be able to look at the risks within those practices and plug any holes that are there.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you found the information useful. For other information about Anthem Risk and the services that we provide, please go to our website, anthemrisk.com.